Hello, and welcome to GCSE PE Essentials. I'm your host, and today we're diving into one of the most crucial topics for your WJE GCSE physical education exam, data collection. This is topic 7.1, and trust me, understanding this will not only help you ace your written exam, but it's also the foundation for your personal fitness program coursework. So whether you're revising for your exam or planning your PFP, this episode has you covered. Data collection might sound a bit dry at first, but here's the thing. Every single fitness test you've ever done, every training program you've designed, every improvement you've tracked, it all comes down to collecting the right data in the right way. And examiners absolutely love testing your understanding of this. So let's make sure you can confidently explain the difference between quantitative and qualitative data, objective and subjective methods, and why validity and reliability matter so much. Grab your notes and let's get started. Core concepts. 5 minutes. Right, let's start with the fundamentals. When we talk about data collection in PE, we're really talking about 4 key types of data, and this is where candidates often lose easy marks, so listen carefully. First up, quantitative data. This is numerical data, anything you can measure with a number. Think times, distances, scores. For example, if you run the Cooper 12-minute run and cover 2,400 meters, that's quantitative data. If you do the sit and reach test and score 15 centimeters, that's quantitative. Notice I said centimeters. Units matter. Examiners will not award full marks if you just say 15 without the unit. Always include your units: seconds, meters, centimeters, kilograms, levels. Now, qualitative data is the opposite. It's descriptive, not numerical. This is where you're using words to describe performance. For example, after watching someone perform a fitness test, you might write, "Good technique, maintain strong posture throughout." That's qualitative. Or a student might reflect, "I felt challenged, but kept going." These are descriptions, not numbers. Here's the key distinction examiners look for. Quantitative equals numbers, qualitative equals descriptions. Simple, right? But don't confuse them in the exam. Now, let's add another layer, objective versus subjective data. Objective data is fact-based, it's measurable, verifiable, and doesn't depend on opinion. If you measure someone's height with a tape measure and get 170 centimeters, that's objective. It's a fact. Anyone else measuring would get the same result. Subjective data, on the other hand, is based on opinion or perception. It's personal. For example, the rating of perceived exertion scale, where you rate how hard an exercise feels on a scale of 6 to 20, that's subjective. It's your opinion of how hard you're working. Or if a teacher observes your technique and says, "Excellent form," that's subjective because it's their judgment. Here's a really important point. Quantitative data is usually objective, and qualitative data is often subjective, but not always. You can have objective, qualitative data, like a factual written observation. The candidate's knee alignment was incorrect during the squat. That's a description, so it's qualitative, but it's also a factual observation, so it's objective. Now, let's talk about why this matters for your exam and your coursework. When you're designing your personal fitness program, you need to choose fitness tests that give you valid and reliable data. And this is where candidates lose the most marks. Validity means, does the test actually measure what it claims to measure? For example, the Cooper 12-minute run is a valid test for cardiovascular endurance because running for 12 minutes directly measures your aerobic capacity. But if you tried to use the Cooper run to test flexibility, that would be invalid. Running doesn't measure flexibility at all. Examiners call this the relevance test. Ask yourself, is this test relevant to the component of fitness I'm trying to measure? If the answer is yes, it's valid. If not, it's invalid. Don't say the data is wrong. Use the correct terminology, invalid. Reliability means, can the test be repeated with consistent results? If you do the 30-meter sprint test today and get 4.5 seconds, then do it again tomorrow under the same conditions and get 4.5 seconds again. That's reliable. The results are consistent. But here's where it gets tricky. Reliability depends on controlling variables. If you do the sprint test on a dry track one day and a wet track the next, your results won't be reliable because the conditions changed. Examiners love asking about factors that affect reliability: weather, surface, equipment calibration, time of day, tester experience. Make sure you can identify these. Let me give you a top tip for the exam. When you're asked to evaluate a fitness test, always address both validity and reliability separately. Don't lump them together. Say, This test is valid because it directly measures cardiovascular endurance. It is reliable because the protocol is standardized and can be repeated under controlled conditions. That's the kind of structured answer that earns full marks. One more thing about data collection methods. You need to know the specific protocols for common fitness tests. That means knowing exactly how to conduct the test, what equipment you need, and what units you measure in. For example, the multi-stage fitness test, also called the BLEEP test or Microsoft, measures cardiovascular endurance. You record the level and shuttle number like level 10.2. Not just 10, you need the shuttle number too. Examiners will penalize vague answers. Same with the sit and reach test for flexibility. You measure in centimeters from a standardized box. The Illinois agility test for agility is measured in seconds. The hand grip dynamometer for strength is measured in kilograms. Know your units, know your protocols. And here's another examiner tip. When you're comparing your results to normative data tables, make sure you use the correct terminology. Don't just say, I'm good or I'm average. Use the exact categories from the tables. My score of 2,600 meters in the Cooper Run places me in the above average category for my age and gender. That's precise, and that's what earns marks. Exam tips and common mistakes. 2 minutes. All right, let's talk about the mistakes that trip candidates up every single year. Mistake number one, confusing validity and reliability. I can't stress this enough. Validity is about relevance. Does the test measure what it should? Reliability is about consistency. Can you repeat the results? They are not the same thing. A test can be reliable but not valid. For example, if you use the sit and reach test to measure cardiovascular endurance, you could get consistent results every time. That's reliable, but it's not valid because flexibility doesn't measure cardiovascular endurance. Mistake number two, not including units. I've said it before, but I'll say it again. Always include units. 15 is not an answer. 15 centimeters is an answer. Level 10 is incomplete. Level 10.2 is correct. Mistake number three, giving generic descriptions of tests without specifics. Don't just say, I did a fitness test. Say, I conducted the Cooper 12-minute run to measure cardiovascular endurance, recording the distance covered in meters. Be specific. Mistake number four, not acknowledging external variables. If you're asked why a test might not be reliable, think about what could change between tests. Weather, surface, equipment, time of day, tester experience, participant fatigue. Examiners want you to show critical thinking. And finally, mistake number five, using the wrong terminology. Don't say data is wrong. Say it's invalid or unreliable. Don't say a test is bad. Say it's not valid for this component of fitness. Use the language of an examiner. Here's a golden rule for structuring your answers. Use the input process output model. Input is the data you collect from the test. Process is how you analyze it, comparing to normative data, identifying strengths and weaknesses. Output is how you use that information to design your training program. Examiners love this structure because it shows you understand the whole cycle. Quickfire, recall, quiz, 1 minute. Okay, let's test your knowledge with a quickfire quiz. I'll ask a question, pause for a few seconds, then give you the answer. Ready? Question one, what type of data is a time of 12.5 seconds? That's quantitative data because it's numerical. Question two, is the rating of perceived exertion scale objective or subjective? It's subjective because it's based on personal perception. Question three, what does validity mean in fitness testing? Validity means the test measures what it claims to measure. It's relevant to the component of fitness. Question four, name one factor that could affect the reliability of the 30-meter sprint test. Weather conditions, surface type, or timing equipment, calibration. Question five, what units are used for the sit and reach test? Centimeters. How did you do? If you got them all right, brilliant. If not, go back and review those sections. Summary and sign off. 1 minute. All right, let's wrap up. Today we've covered the four types of data: quantitative, qualitative, objective, and subjective. We've explored the critical difference between validity and reliability. We've talked about the importance of standardized protocols, specific units, and normative data comparisons, and we've highlighted the common mistakes that cost candidates marks every year. Remember, data collection isn't just about ticking boxes. It's about making informed decisions that improve performance. Whether you're designing your personal fitness program or answering a six-mark exam question, the principles are the same. Be specific, be accurate, and use the right terminology. If you found this helpful, make sure you practice applying these concepts to real exam questions. And don't forget to check out the study guide for worked examples, practice questions, and visual diagrams that'll help cement this knowledge. Thanks for listening to GCSE PE Essentials. Good luck with your revision, and remember, collect the right data and you'll make the right decisions. See you next time.